side, good fooling around. All right. All right, good, very good. All right, write those down real quickly. Write those down. Stay close. Stay and be. One more time. Stay close. Yeah, stay close, stay clean, and be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so true. Religious activity is not an indication of spiritual maturity and spiritual living. And I thank God for that testimony. Thank you, Brother Fredericks, for being with us today. We're glad you're here and looking forward to seeing you after chapel momentarily, if we can. John chapter 4 is where I want you to turn your Bibles today, if you would please. I'd like to just speak with you for a few moments. I don't think it'll be a message as much as I think it can be a little bit of inspiration. We come to chapel, we get instructed in things of God, we get inspired in the things of God to invest and involve ourselves in the work of the Lord. Today I want to speak to you about winning the lost to Jesus Christ. I think it's not necessarily an easy thing to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a necessity. The Bible says, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. When you win people to Christ, you get rejoiced. There's joy that comes from that. Whenever you disciple a new convert, John the Beloved said, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. One missing element in Christianity is joy. But soul winners have it. Disciplers have it. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. You need strength to raise children, to marry correctly, to get through school. But winning the lost and discipling the saved is a huge responsibility. If you're not a soul winner, if you're not discipling converts, you're going to struggle just to be the average Christian. But if you'll learn to win the lost and disciple those you win, you're going to find great success in the work of the Lord. God is glorified when we win the lost. He said, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. What's the fruit of a Christian? It's another Christian. There ought to be someone sitting across the auditorium from you after you finish college that God used you to win and disciple. Don't be content to get book knowledge. I had the joy to be a school principal for 7 years and to work in Christian education and then to go into the pastorate in the year 2000. For 18 years I've been a pastor and have acquired many co-laborers to serve and have inherited others who, when I went to the ministry, they were already in the work of the Lord with me. But I will tell you, the ones who find the least problems in the work of the Lord are people who are winning and discipling converts. Some people feel like because they can type fast or they're efficient in their field, or because they can do networking, or because they can make a computer work, or they can fix a bug, or because they can turn a wrench and fix a machine, or fix a door, or a bus, or someone because they can sing, and they can carry a part, and sing a part, and they can play an instrument, or they can teach a school, and they're very good in academics, that's their ministry. But everyone has a ministry higher than that. And that is winning and discipling converts. Young people, some of you have been here for a couple years. Some may be graduating, and you still have very little fruit in your life. I don't know who you are. I'm just saying that not because I'm thinking of any one person. Some of you have been here several weeks on a bus route, and you've spent hours, 4, 5, 6 hours, 7 hours on your weekend in a community full of lost people. And yet you've not yet given the gospel to somebody. And I think it's much more giving the gospel than it is making sure people get saved. You can't win anyone to Christ. I've never won anyone to Christ. I have just shared the gospel with them. And the Holy Spirit has to do all the work. He has to prepare the hearts. But all of us ought to be engaged in winning people to the Lord. And Jesus was the greatest soul winner. And he modeled that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're going to be like Jesus, I'm going to be like Jesus. I need to do the same thing. I've not done a great job with it. I feel embarrassed even to preach on soul winning because I am struggling. I want to make sure that I'm a better soul winner than I am. I know that I have areas I've got to work on in that area. I want to be a good preacher. But quite frankly, I'd rather be a better soul winner than a preacher. I'd like to be a good organizer, but I'd rather be a better soul winner than an organizer. I'd rather do the thing that Jesus came to do. He didn't say, I came to seek and to organize. Although you need to be an organized person. I came to sing and to play instruments. No, he came to seek and save that which is lost. And all of us ought to have something intrinsically inside of us, internally saying, are you winning the lost? Are you winning the lost? Who needs to get saved today? Who can I talk to about Christ? I find great pastors and great servants of Christ are actively engaged in winning the lost. I thank God that Brother Pins is a tremendous, he knows Hebrew and Greek. He knows things that I don't understand, and he's very intellectual and smart and is a great student of the Word of God. But what makes him special is not Hebrew and Greek, in my opinion. It's every day, every Sunday, every Saturday, he is in Chinatown preaching, winning, discipling new converts. If you're here for a semester, you'll see several Chinese people getting baptized. And almost every time you see that, you're going to find the influence of Brother Phil and Joyce Pins. And you know why they put their time in? They pray. And many folks, we can collect a paycheck from a ministry and lead no one to Christ. Invest no. We have 168 hours of our week. Every one of us, not a minute more or a minute less. And oftentimes we do not use our time for things that matter most. See, soul winning is the one thing you cannot do in heaven. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. When it's time, I'm ready to go. I'm hoping it's not this afternoon, but if it happens this afternoon, I'm okay. But one thing I will not be able to do in heaven, I'll not be able to win a soul to Christ because everyone in heaven is saved. It's only this window of time right now that we have an opportunity to win the lost. And that's one of the reasons you're sitting here. Wouldn't want to give a plug nickel to a missionary who went over there and just lived somewhere else and functioned in another place. I want to go see missionaries that win the lost. The disciple the saved, that help them follow the Lord and continue on. It's what brings value. You go to work at a church or a ministry, and you're someone you ought to be. If you're a teacher, you ought to be the best teacher they have. You ought to put the time in. You ought to work hard. You ought to improve your skills. You ought to work with integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. But you also ought to bring somebody who's bringing others to the Lord. But you need to learn that while you're here. You need to be burdened about that. I want to give you a little bit of advice to help you with that. Number one, know you're saved yourself. You're not going to win others if you're not saved. If you're struggling with your salvation, you're going to have a hard time being faithful to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. When were you saved? When did you accept Jesus Christ? One of the most powerful tools, I was witnessing to a man yesterday, and he is an IT director. He oversees four different plants, two in India, in Las Vegas, in Guatemala, and then also in Honduras. I guess that makes five. We were riding on a plane together, and I began to engage in conversation about the gospel of Jesus Christ and began to share the gospel. He said, you know, I'm really an agnostic, but I'm very interested in what you're telling me because I studied religions in school, but I didn't know about this. I'm learning new things. And he did not trust the Lord as a Savior. I remember him as he got off the plane. He walked by me, and he gave me his business card. He said, I hope we can stay friends. Hoping my friends contact me, and he gave me his name, and we began to discuss. I'm going to send him an email today, let him know that I'm praying for him. I gave him a gospel track, a clear gospel track, two of them. Put my name on it, and put my email and my phone number, so if he can let me know if he wants to talk about that. But I will say all of that, you're going to have to, first of all, know you're saved. In 1,500 years from this very moment, all that's going to matter is where you live, with God or without him. In heaven, with him forever, in hell, without him forever. So you need to know you're saved. Number two, you ought to pray for the lost. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says that we ought to pray First of all, that prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. So, Pastor, I don't know exactly why, but I tell you this, if you pray for the lost, you'll be more interested in giving the gospel to the lost. I remember yesterday mornings, I got up and woke up there in Honduras. I thought to myself, I'm going to preach here two times in just a few moments at the church after I ate breakfast, and then I'm going to go right from there to the airport, and I'll begin to engage, and I had several tracts with me. I gave probably about 10 or 15 tracts to different people. But when I woke up, my first thought went that morning after spending time with the Lord, I said, Lord, lead me to somebody who needs the gospel. And I'm confident that prayer led me to the man I was sitting with on the plane. It made me interested in speaking to them and talking to him. Because when you pray for the lost, you're interested in the lost. Remember years ago, I told the discipleship class that this morning. Years ago, I walked behind the gymnasium here, and that was my place where sometimes I would just take, if I had 30 minutes, I'd run out there and walk around and talk to the Lord out loud while I would walk around the lake or behind the gym. I remember praying that God would help me to lead someone to the Lord. I was on 43rd and Wallace there in Chicago that Saturday. I remember my friend Mark walking with me, and we walked. And I felt like almost the Holy Spirit just pulled me inside a building. I just walked up the steps. My friend Mark was from Baltimore, and he was just kind of talking. And he walked by himself for a little while, and I went in that building. I said, "Hey, Mark, where are you going, man?" I said, "Come back over here. Let's knock on these doors." We walked into that second flat. The first flat was no one's home, and then we went to the second flat up there. I turned the corner. I knocked on the door. I said, "My name is John. It's my friend Mark. We're from First Baptist Church of Hammond." And he said, "Well, thank you for coming. Come on in." I said, "What?" He said, "Come in." There was a red-haired man. His name was Bill. His girlfriend's name was Fran. His last name was Clark, and they weren't married. They had two little girls sitting there. And he said, "I'm sorry, I have a kitchen table here. We just got two chairs, and we got a bed here." He said, "But would you mind just sitting right here on the bed?" I said, "No." It's like I was blown away. And he said, I've been waiting for you to come." I said, "Waiting for me to come?" He said, "Yeah, man, we're so messed up." He said, "We're not married. Those two girls are our girls." He said, "Last night, Fran and I just got on our knees right here where you're sitting. And said, Lord, please send us someone with truth and help." And he said, "Then you came." I said, "So do you know for sure, Bill, if you die today, you go to heaven?" He goes, "No." I said, "If I could show you in the Bible how you could know, would you want to know?" He said, "Yeah." "How about you, Fran?" "Yeah." Both of them accepted Jesus Christ right there. Later on, one of the college professors went with me, and they got married. And they moved to Oklahoma later on. But you know, I know what put that together. It wasn't me. It wasn't you, and it wasn't them. It was prayer and the Holy Spirit. You begin to pray and say, "God, lead me to somebody." I've had that happen several times. I remember numbers of times where just pray and I pray for the lost. I remember the other day, and this has been about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, my neighbors, I pray for each of my neighbors when I go around. I have a circle drive at my house and in Nobico, and then I have my next neighbor, Regina and Geisha, and then Larry and Bianca, and then our home, and then Risa, and then Roger and Ruth, and then Dr. Loris and Anna Rosa and Jerry and Mary Lou and Tom and Lisa. And I pray for my neighbors there. But one Saturday afternoon, I was driving around I was driving around that circle, and it was like the Lord I just told me, not audibly, but just go see Dr. Loris and Anna Rosa. And I went up there and knocked on the door and just had a reason to talk to them. And they said, "Well, come on in, Pastor." And I went in to see them. They were sitting at their dining room table, and they offered me something to some water and some cookies and things. And we sat and talked. He's a doctor, a dermatologist, and she works in his office. And as I began to talk to them, I began to talk to them about the gospel. I said, "Could I just show you from the Bible?" And he said, "Sure. Anna Rosa, go get the Bible." And he got this big Catholic Bible. Brought the Catholic Bible on that dining room table, and I began to share the gospel of Christ with both of them. And He said, you know what, John, I wouldn't really be interested in listening to you. He said, but this week I've been in the emergency room for 3 times this week at St. Margaret's down the street here. He said, I've got a problem internally and they can't figure out what's going on and man, I've been miserable. So I've had a lot of time to think about things in the hospital. You know, I'm a doctor and I have this big house and all these things. But he said, you know, there's just certain things I just don't know. He said, you're explaining some things to me I need to understand. I said, if Jesus is willing to accept you after giving the gospel, would you be accepting him? He goes, I think I need to do that, John. And he prayed and accepted Christ as Savior. I asked Miss Anna Rosa, do you know for sure if you died? She goes, you know, I do know that. I said, now how do you know? He says, because about 18 months ago, 2 ladies from your church knocked on my door. I teach catechism down at the St. Catholic's Church or St. Joseph's Catholic Church. He said, but 2 ladies came by the house and they asked me the same question you asked Loris. And they showed me from the Bible. When they did that, it made sense to me. I asked the Lord to save me then too. And he says, you know what? She's had peace since that time. That's what he said to her. That she's been a different wife. She's been wanting me to learn this too, but I didn't know today I would learn it. But I think all that is based in prayer. When you pray for the lost, God makes you sensitive to the lost, and he begins to put you and the sinner together at the right time. Know you're saved. Pray for the lost. Have confidence in the gospel. Have confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. We probably will not get to the passage I wanted you to get to. Let's go to Romans 1:16 real quickly. Thank you for letting me speak to you this morning. I want you to be fruitful Christians. I want your kids one day to have a dad who's a soul winner. So many blessings have come to my life and the life of our children because their dad and mom are soul winners. Some of the greatest friends that we have were reached because of soul winning. You know, when you lead someone to Christ, they love you. They care about you. You become important and they love your children. You can make, those are just fringe benefits of seeing them come to know Jesus Christ and they're so grateful. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, let's read it together, everyone out loud. Are you ready? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power. I'm not the power of God. You're not the power of God. The church is not the power of God. The bus ministry is not the power of God. The baptistry waters are not the power of God. What is the power of God according to that verse? The gospel. It's the dynamite that blows up whenever it's explained. It does something on the inside of a man or a woman when they hear the gospel. Even if they don't want it, if they don't believe it, it bothers them. It does. It has an effect. The Bible says, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish something in someone's heart. Remember years ago, I had a man named Owen Lee. Owen was he had gone to the University of Oregon and then also done his graduate work. And then he was taught school in the public schools in Los Angeles, California, Long Beach for probably 35 years. He had learned to make money in real estate. And he had a friend of his who had alcohol issues, and they started coming to RU. And one of the requirements for RU is they come on Sunday and get someone to sign their note that they went to church on Sunday. And so his friend could not drive a car, so he drove them, sat in the back, and he would go and attend church. And he didn't really, he called himself, because I don't know if I'm an atheist, but I'm close. Probably more of an agnostic, I don't know for sure. He said, but my friend here wants to go to church and needs to go to church, so I'm glad I enjoy. And then he was a school teacher, and because I was a school teacher, he's kind of fond of me. I got to meet him. I tried to talk to him several times. I said, Owen, can we talk about the gospel? He goes, no, that's okay, you know. That's all right, maybe one day. By the way, that's a good way to do it. Ask people for the opportunity to talk to them. Every conversation that you have an unsaved stranger or person should be an attempt to see if you can get the gospel in that conversation. You may get a walls put up, it may be build backs another time, but every time you, soul winning is just talking to someone until you can talk to them about Jesus. That's what you do. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's just a seed planted, sometimes it's all the way through. But really, you can go soul winning every day. You can talk to someone, and maybe just a seed planted, water planted, a water to water seeds are even planted, or it might be bringing someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I remember talking to him, and I asked him many times. He kept coming faithfully, and he goes, you know what? One day he told me, we'll have that talk sometime. We'll have that talk sometime. And I could tell that the Lord was doing a work in his heart. 3 years down the road, I've talked to him many times, but never would he let me give the gospel. I said to him, I said, Owen, let me give you the gospel. And I don't know if he would get saved. I didn't think he would, but at least he would get the word of God. And faith cometh by hearing by. And the gospel blows up in the heart. I remember one day, it was a Monday, I called him and said, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? He said, you know, I'm not doing nothing tomorrow. I said, how about 10 o'clock? Let's meet. He said, okay, I'll see you at 10. And I scheduled a place to meet him. I remember him coming in at 10 o'clock. And he said, you know, John, before we get started, there's three things I want to tell you. Number one, I'm leaving at 11. He said, I'm leaving at 11 o'clock. We're not going to go more than an hour in this conversation. He said, number two, he goes, I did my master's thesis on the scriptures and how the scriptures were canonized. So I have done my study, I know about the Bible, and I don't think we're going to get very far in our hour time. So I want you to know that I know what I know about how we got the Bible. It was my master's study up there in Oregon. So that's good. He said, number three, I like you. He said, if I want to hear from anyone, I would want to hear it from you. I think, I don't believe like you believe, but I think you do believe it, and I respect that. And if anyone's going to talk to me, I'm going to let you talk to me. I said, okay. Anything else? He goes, no, that's it. I'm leaving at 11. I know my stuff, and I think you're a good guy. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm not going to argue with you about the gun. I'm just going to shoot it at you. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, you probably know a lot about how we got the Bible, but I'm not going to argue about the Bible. I'm just going to tell you what it says. Is that all right with you? He said, fine with me. Well, he said, I'm an agnostic. That's what he told me. I said, I'm an agnostic. He told me four things. He said, I'm an agnostic. I'm not sure there is a God. So I went through the gospel, and I added some extra verses, made sure I had it. I knew I had time. So I said, well, I'm going to use this time, and I'm just going to go through the verses. And I'm going to show him every verse I can think about on the gospel. And I went through the whole gospel presentation. And at the end, he said to me, I said, okay, Owen, that's what I wanted to share with you. Thank you for letting me share it with you. Do you have any questions? He said, yeah. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to go to hell. I said, what do you want to do? He was like, no, I want to do it. I said, you want to accept Jesus? He said, yeah, I want to accept Jesus. Why wouldn't I want to accept Jesus? What you explained to me right there? I said, well, number one, do you know you're a sinner? Your sin's against God? He said, yeah. I said, do you know that sinners deserve to go to the lake of fire? I said, that's terrible. He said, do you believe that Jesus died, he was buried, and rose again? He said, yeah, I believe that. I said, so you want to get saved right now? If Jesus will accept you and your sin, will you accept him? He said, yeah. I'll never forget as long as I live. Man, he bowed and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he got up, and when he got done, he said, I can't believe I just did that. That was great. Wow. I said, it's 10:47. He said, if you would have told me 47 minutes ago that I've been praying and accepting a God I didn't even believe, I wouldn't believe you. He said, this is powerful. You know what was powerful? The gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So, have confidence in the power of God. Know the gospel. Share the gospel. The reason people do not get saved is not because the gospel is broken. It's because we are not telling it. Listen, you want to get people on your bus Sunday, but make sure you get people the gospel of Jesus. You want to have a full bus. You want to make sure you're decorated, your bus. Do all that stuff. You want to have that rally and all that stuff, but you want to get someone the gospel. Get you a New Testament, outline it, pray, know how to explain the gospel, and then ask someone, could I show you how to be saved? And if people don't trust you, they won't trust what you tell them. If they don't trust you, they won't trust the Savior you represent. Be gracious, be kind, and then be patient. Realize everybody's not going to say the first time you talk to them. If you meet someone, they tell your name, that's a name you need to put down and start praying for that person. Say, God, bring them across my path again. Help me be able to share the gospel with them. Those moms and dads, you go into that house the same time, every one of them are lost. I remember years ago, and I've taken too long, but there was a little girl named Isabel and her brother named Jose. And they began to come. Isabel even went to City Baptist schools. Her mother was in voodoo, and she was in Catholicism, and she just had all kinds of, and she would argue all the time. She was in Jehovah's Witness for a while, and when I would come in and try to talk to her, her name was Beatrice, and she said, Pastor, I just texted her, she texted me just the other day. She'd say, Brother John, she'd call me Brother Johnny, Brother Johnny, and she would laugh and joke, and I'd say, Beatrice, can I show you how to be saved? Oh, yeah, Brother Johnny, a lot of your bus workers tell me that. I know. And she didn't get saved. I came back here to be the pastor. And one day I stepped out of my office on a Sunday morning, and there is Beatrice and Isabel and Jose. All of them are standing in front of me. I said, well, good night. What are y'all doing? Brother Johnny, you're the pastor now. Congratulations. You know, and they were all happy about that. I said, well, listen, next week y'all come back and come to my house for lunch. And they came back. And I remember sitting there, and I was at the head of the table, and Beatrice was at the other end, and she said, Brother Johnny, all these years I've been fighting getting saved. You see, I probably should have got saved when you preached this morning. But with all my kids here, I want to get saved right now. And at my kitchen table, my dining room table, she bowed and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior in front of her children. Then she, through tears, she said, I wish I would have done this years ago. I wish you need this, she said to her daughter and to her granddaughters and grandchildren. You need all this. Listen to Brother Johnny. But I'm glad that the power of the gospel still works if we'll get the gospel. Pray. Share the gospel. Know the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the joy of sharing your word today. I pray you'd help the students of our college to be concerned about the lost. There's so many people that could be saved if we would get engaged in the gospel presentation. God, I need this. Our faculty needs this. Our student body, our seniors, our graduate students, our juniors, our sophomores, our graduates around the world, all of us need to be convinced that the gospel will work. And it is the power of God. Work in our hearts. Make us soul conscious. Forgive us when we haven't been faithful to give the gospel. Work in hearts, I pray. How many of you would think of someone right now that needs to be saved? You'll begin praying for them that God would open up a door of opportunity. Pray for them. Pray for the streets on your bus route. Pray for the houses. Take pictures of the houses and pray that God will bless them as you scroll through your iPhone or your Android. Think of people that need the Word of God and need the gospel, and let's be faithful to give the gospel. God will be glorified. Thank you for being responsive to the Word of God, young people. Our Father, we take this chapel, these truths, and we ask you if you would please help them to be cemented in my heart. But I pray that I would be a soul winner today. Lead me to share the gospel with someone today. Pray that you would please bless each of us. Help us to not be satisfied with our skill set. Help us to be passionate about our soul winning. In Jesus' name we pray.